Hello, and welcome to episode number 22 of the Awesome Algo podcast. I'm your host, Al.
And I'm your co-host, Mike.
And today we have a very special episode because we're going to be talking about a very important framework in the Algorand ecosystem. It's called Use Wallet. I'm sure a lot of people are familiar with that, but for the listeners out there who aren't, Use Wallet is essentially, you could describe it as a comprehensive wallet management solution for Algorand dApps. You could think of it as an aggregator that allows you to plug in a number of different wallet providers that are available in the ecosystem through a unified interface. And it just makes your life a lot easier when you need to stop worrying about the headaches of managing multiple wallet providers out there. And it just instantly makes it a lot easier to connect any front-end based application with Algorand ecosystems out there, and you can start getting your customers and users to use different wallet providers. And the guest today is Doug Richard. He is a co-founder and lead front-end engineer and designer at TXN Lab, which is essentially a startup company that is focused on building NF Domains, which is, let's say, a very prominent name service provider for Algorand wallet addresses, and also the creators of the RETI pooling protocol. Regarding RETI specifically, you will see the links in the description to the episode. I highly recommend checking out the repository. A lot of people are aware that Algorand has a huge shift towards the way they are going to be distributing rewards, and especially for people who are running the participation nodes, so you can find a lot of information about the RETI pooling, which actually allows you to participate and get rewards without actually running your own node with a minimum entry point of 30 algo. There's many ways you can participate in the staking rewards that are coming, I believe, later this December. But with that, I'd like to give the word to our guest today. And yeah, I guess if we could just start with a brief introduction about yourself before diving into the Use Wallet itself.
Sure. Yeah. Excited to be here. Thank you guys for having me on. I've been programming, building, designing for the web for about 20 years. Got into crypto in general in like 2020, 2021. I remember at the time everyone had heard of Bitcoin, obviously, but that was about the extent of it. But I was getting interested in peer-to-peer networks and protocols. I was looking at IPFS, always into Torrent. And at some point during like COVID lockdowns and just doing my own sort of deep dives, I was on YouTube and came across the Lex Fridman interview with Silvio Macaulay. And that was actually what put Algorand, maybe first noticed Algorand. And from then on, I started to get involved in the community. Our CEO, Patrick, has a Telegram channel that's pretty popular. And I joined there and started meeting other community members and learning about the chain and the ecosystem. And at the time, I was doing full-time front-end development for a company working remotely in California. But I saw a tweet by Alex from Algodex asking if anybody had front-end experience, would be interested in working on a project he was working on. I responded and we started talking and I started working on, and I know that Mike, you're familiar with that as well.
Right. That's right. I think a lot of us have gotten to the Algorand ecosystem through Twitter and Alex.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And over the course of that project, I met John and Gabe and eventually Patrick as well. We all were working on that together. And while we ended up not staying working on that project, the four of us ended up leaving and co-founding Transaction Lab. And we all left our full-time positions and started working full-time on Algorand development. And as you mentioned before, our first project was NF Domains. And over the course of developing NF Domains, it was something we were really focusing on was making sure that we had broad wallet support. But as soon as we started getting into what that actually looked like, what that implementation would look like, it's very difficult. Each wallet has its own unique API, different SDKs, different dependencies. And so trying to wrangle all that and have it all work in one application is not easy. I was mainly focused on the UI at the time. Gabe, the other front-end dev at the time with us, started working on our wallet management solution. And he was the one who established a lot of those patterns that we currently have in the library, where it's a single, like a base abstract class that's then extended by different clients for each of the different wallets. And that sort of is what gives you that unified API where, you know, each wallet essentially does the same things. You're connecting, you're disconnecting, you're setting your active account, you're signing transactions, but each one does it in its own way. And the pattern he adopted made it so that each wallet can be implementing these shared methods the same uniquely according to their API, but have it just be one API that's being used. Using Zustan for state management and using React primitives initially because NFDomains is a Next.js app. We built it all in React, but the end product actually ended up working really well. And the more we talked about it with different people, they were also interested in how we managed to have support for 5 different wallets at once, when a lot of projects at the time would have just MyAlgo support or Paris support. They would pick one wallet and that would be it. And so after having some of these discussions with people, we decided that it would be a benefit to the ecosystem to open source the wallet management solution that we had. And Gabe initially as well developed this into a library, which we then were like dog fooding back into NFDomains. And that ensured that we were catching and squashing bugs, that it was adding new features. It was being actively developed while we were also sharing it with the rest of the community. And yeah, that was the origin of Use Wallet. And it's been great to have the community involved in developing it. I think that it started off with a very narrow use case, just satisfying our needs. But then over time, as different types of projects had different requirements and would make feature requests or even better pull requests and actually make updates to the library, it's just continued to evolve over time. And yeah, it's been great to work on this and then to be able to share it with the rest of the community.
Nice. It's a very interesting piece of history. I didn't actually know that you guys initially planned it specifically to dog food to NFDomains, but I got to imagine the scene. I'd imagine this is something in October, November 2022. There's still alpha signups.
This was earlier because we launched in June of 2022. So This is something that we had been working on from the beginning of that year. And the
it was like a private repository that was later open sourced?
Yeah, it's still a private repository, but yeah, we decided to open source as a separate, obviously public repository after we launched.
Nice. You mentioned that the design of the SDK itself was primarily structured around having this abstract interface that sort of hides the complexity and specifics of each individual wallet provider. But at the same time, if a developer would look at the history, there's 3 major versions and a little spoiler about the upcoming V4, thanks to the Algo SDK, V3 and the typing support. But is there any sort of brief history of major, you would say, features and changes that were introduced in V1, V2, V3, and if you can spoil anything with the upcoming V4 release?
Yeah, sure. So yeah, V1 was obviously very much similar to what we had started with in NFDomains. And that was, at the time, Gabe was the one pretty much primarily working on that and maintaining it. And eventually he ended up leaving the company. And when he did, I assumed the role of maintainer on the library. And so at the beginning for version 1, it was mainly just about fixing issues and providing support and familiarizing myself more with the library itself, which up until then, he pretty much maintained a lot of it. And I was focused more on the other aspects of the front end. But this obviously forced me to get more familiar with the way that the library worked and also started giving me some ideas about ways we can make it better. And then version 2 was really the first time I started to take ownership of the library and added unit tests, added support for Wallet Connect V2. I think one other switch we made in V2 was also requiring static imports and dependencies. So initially we made it so that it was all the dependencies were dynamically imported by the library, but it seemed to just be a better approach to have it so that the project would install the dependencies and then pass them to the library. All of which are just different ways to make sure that the bundle size of the library doesn't just balloon. If you're trying to add 6 or 7 wallet dependencies into one bundle, you're going to be up in like the several megabytes.
Yeah.
And then really though, at that point, a lot of people were using the library, but the main complaint that people had was that it was only available for React. And a lot of Vue developers or just vanilla JavaScript developers were saying, well, I want to be able to use this too. What can I do? And yeah, I'd been giving it some thought about what it would look like to be able to support different frameworks. And it really required a full rewrite. I mean, that's what I came down to, is that really it needed to have all of the core logic extracted into a separate package and then have different framework adapters that would extend it. And it was about at the end of 2023, it was the end of last year when I just, one day I'm just like, let's just do it. And I created a new or fresh repository, set up the monorepo, and just started working on the core library. And so, yeah, that was a several month process, but it was about trying to do all the same things that the V2 library was doing, but with as few dependencies as possible, just vanilla TypeScript. And yeah, it pretty much still very much resembles that same pattern that I talked about with the base provider, the abstract class being extended by other individual wallet providers. But yeah, no, it in the end, a lot of performance enhancements were made. Because it didn't rely on React, it meant that it could initialize a lot faster. The previous versions had to wait for React's life cycles before it could have that first is ready or is available state. Yeah. So, sorry.
I was going to say, is that the wallet manager that is the core abstraction that came out of that work?
Yeah. So that was a decision I made, is that ends up being like the heart of the library. It's the main export. It's where you pass the configuration object. That would be where you decide which wallets you want to support, what your network configuration would be if you want to use something besides the defaults, and then the default network, which is, that's true also. Another thing that was added in V3 was switching networks, which is another feature that had been requested. But yeah, so the wallet manager is really where most of the logic happens. It's passed the configuration object, initializes the store, initializes the AlphaD client, and then the individual wallet providers. Another change that came in V3 was that instead of loading the dependencies for each wallet up front, it only happens when you actually call the connect method. If you have five different wallets you're supporting, but the user only decides they're going to use Para or DeFi, when you click connect, that's actually when the Para connect or DeFi connect is actually being loaded. So there's a bit of a delay on that first time when you click connect, but that way you're not having to load all of these dependencies that probably are never going to get used if you have a user just using one wallet. So yeah.
That makes a lot of sense. And what were some of the decisions around driving towards a shared library like that? Or what was the main benefit of using vanilla JavaScript as your base and then creating your wrappers around that? Like, could you tell us a little bit more about like what got you to that point?
Yeah, I think that one of the drawbacks of the earlier versions of UseWallet was that there was a lot of dependencies. And on top of just actually having React, which is not super huge, but React and then plus all of the other React libraries we were using, I really tried to use as few dependencies as possible as to keep the size down. And in some ways, that was great. And actually, I'm glad that I was able to keep the size of the library down to where it was. One suggestion, and this was over the course of developing V3, I was sharing some of my earlier versions with Brian Whippo, Silent Rhetoric at the Foundation. And he was asking me, it seems like you've recreated your whole state management solution here from scratch. He's like, why reinvent the wheel? There's got to be something you could use here. And he pointed me to TanStack Store, which I had not heard of at the time, but is an awesome, really simple state management library that luckily for what I was trying to do already had framework adapters. So there's like a React version, there's a Vue version, there's a Solid.js version, and there's a Svelte version. And relying on that instead, and seeing that it was a battle-tested library that I didn't have to worry about my own sort of like bespoke solution, whether that would stand the test of time. So that was one place where I did use dependencies, and I think it was a good decision. The framework adapters, pretty much all they're doing is they're adding reactivity. That's really what you don't get with just the core library. Is I've added some like a pub sub pattern, so you have a subscribe method that you can use to watch for changes in the state and then update your UI. React and Vue and Solid all have their own systems for reactivity, and so that's really all you're doing with the framework adapters. It's using the framework primitives to introduce reactivity, and all of it ends up just making it a lot easier to get your UI working with the library.
Absolutely. Very elegant solution.
Thank you.
So would you say that essentially relying on TanStack in this case solved most of the sort of major challenges in keeping the consistent behavior in different framework specific implementations?
Yeah, there's more to it, obviously. So I'm a primarily React developer. So that was something else that I really enjoyed about working on this library, is forcing me out of my comfort zone to try some frameworks that I don't usually use. Learning about Vue.js, this is really the first time I'd ever used Vue that much. I knew of it and seen examples, but I never actually worked with it. And so there's a lot of things that I really like about it. There's pros and cons too. I still think React is my favorite, but I do a lot of aspects of Vue, and their plugin system is what's really nice. I like that essentially the Vue adapter is just like a wallet manager plugin that can be pretty easily added to a project. and Savile.js as well, which is something I hadn't used before, but is more similar to React. So it was an easier one to grow accustomed to. But yeah, it's in general, though, it's mainly leaning on the TanStack store for just taking what the internal state of the library is and then introducing that reactivity.
And what drove the decision-making between like specifically Vue, Solid? I'd imagine React obviously makes sense because this was the initial iterations of the framework heavily relying on, but what sort of drove the drive towards also having like framework-specific implementations in Solid and Vue? Did you have a good scenarios from the community in this case, or?
Yeah, pretty much it was based on requests. We had people saying, I work in Vue, I want to be able to use this as my Vue project. Yeah, a silent rhetoric. Brian, he's a big Solid developer, so he had said that he wanted to be able to use this with Solid.js as well. The only one that I don't have so far that I'm interested in doing and want to pursue is a Svelte adapter, which is another framework that I've been interested in, but haven't really had a reason to use too much in the same sense like I did with those other ones. Like this is personally, it's something that I've wanted to do. And I know that there's Svelte developers out there as well who would benefit from using the library and the projects.
But I'd imagine that also could be temporarily justified with the latest rewrites starting from the V3, right? There's now a core framework agnostic web component that essentially could be used by anything that's not currently covered by framework specific implementation. So even if
exactly
like a developer wants to, he can, nothing stops them, right?
Yeah. All you have to do in that case would just be to, you would have to be the one handling the reactivity at that point. But yes, you could just use the core library. You can use the core library on its own in React if you have a better idea about how you want to integrate it with your project, as opposed to the way that the React adapter does, you're free to. So that's the flexibility that it gave us by separating it into just the core library and then the React, the framework adapters extending it.
Nice. And sorry, if I may just backtrack a little bit, but you mentioned that early 2021, or if we backtrack back to the inception of the framework itself, were there any specific, like, interesting research that you or folks like Gabe at TXN Lab did to see what's the landscape like for these wallet aggregators are? Because Algorand wasn't probably the first ecosystem, chain ecosystem, to have a tool like that introduced. Or would you say there were any interesting examples that you saw in other blockchain ecosystems? Or it was all purely driven by the requirements? Okay, we have a lot of wallet providers in Algorand. Let's just see if we can have a nice and elegant solution to combine them all together.
Yeah, honestly, I'm pretty sure it was the latter. It was just like, we have these problems to solve. How are we going to solve them? And it hasn't really been until later on, at least for me, that I've looked at similar sort of solutions in other blockchain. In the end, however you find your way getting there, you're trying to do the same thing. But it's interesting, though, to compare what is already being used and exists on other blockchains compared to what we have. And in the end, like I said, it all ends up being something similar. But I do really like the approach that Gabe took, and that's why I decided to keep it when I took it over and was working on the new versions.
Nice. Were there any specific wallet providers that you would say you found the most favorable or the easiest to comply with or integrate? Because there's a large array of different wallet providers. For the listeners out there, if you go on the TXN Labs Getbook and see the documentation of the use wallet, there's a hefty set of different wallet providers, and some of them aren't even necessarily used for actual user authentication. If you're worried about, okay, what do I do if I need to perform some sort of end-to-end test on my front end, right? Use wallet can also help you with scenarios like that. So when we talk about use wallet, you could also imagine that it gets you covered for cases where you simply just want to test and browse through your decentralized app and test various sign-in scenarios.
There's the mnemonic wallet, which was added purely for testing. Yeah, that's one example where, you could just use it for your CI or your end-to-end tests. And it's obviously not designed to be used for production because you've got your mnemonics going into the wallet. But there's also some checks in place to make sure that, in case you decided you might want to try using it in a production app, it won't let you. If you're connected to mainnet, it'll throw an error if you try to use the mnemonic wallet. But yeah, there's the mnemonic wallet. There's the KMD, Key Management Daemon wallet as well, which is great for local development. Actually, one of my favorite features wasn't written by me. It was that Rob added from MakerX, the custom provider. And it was a really novel solution, which would let the project actually define a provider and then pass it into the library. I forget what exactly it was. I think it was for the governance site, and it was so that Copper Wallet could be used for signing. Yeah, when you made that PR and I saw that, that's the kind of stuff that I love about how this is an open source project and people can have their own ideas and contribute to the library. Yeah, I think that I thought that was so cool when I saw that he'd built that.
And that base, I was going to say that base abstraction fit very nicely with the custom provider as well. Just allows for that kind of adaptability.
Yeah, no, it was cool to see. And then once I saw the solution, I was like, yeah, of course. Yeah, you could just totally pass it all in. And because it's using this unified API, it's just another way you can take advantage of that approach. And yeah, I think going back to the question you initially asked, which is which ones are easier to work with and which ones are harder to work with, I wouldn't really say necessarily that there's one that's like my favorite, but I will say that the Wallet Connect, the generic Wallet Connect provider that we have, is probably my least favorite. It's Wallet Connect is a very complicated protocol, and it's the standard in some sense for a lot of, not just Algorand, for other ecosystems as well. But yeah, when I added the V2 support and use Wallet version 2, I remember that just being such a nightmare trying to get that all working. There's just so much involved. The monorepo for the Wallet Connect monorepo is just constantly being updated. It's almost hard to keep up with some of the changes, breaking changes left and right. Yeah, I just remember that being not particularly fun to work on. And so it's also one of the reasons why I'm very excited about the potential for LiquidAuth possibly taking its place and using open standards and being like the fill the gap that Wallet Connect would leave if it wasn't there.
Absolutely. And if I didn't have to clear my cache every time I revisited a dApp I haven't seen in a while, I would be singing Wallet Connect's praises. But it really is, it puts everyone in a terrible situation because then they're going to the wallet providers, they're going to the integration developers, and they're saying, oh, use Wallet's not working, when in reality, it's Wallet Connect. And
I know that Para probably hears that as well. It's oftentimes it's not a bug with Para. It's a bug with Wallet Connect relay servers it's tough. It's not always my favorite when there's a bug related to Wallet Connect that I've got to look at and debug, because it's very difficult to do that sometimes.
I'm very sorry for Para for every single blame on Twitter that they may have received over the past 2 to 3 years, whenever anyone experiences any Wallet Connect errors, because like I could imagine for a non-developer, it's very easy to blame the wallet implementation itself.
You're sort of front line. Yeah, hearing about it all. Yeah,
I have my fair share of struggles with that. I think John Woods perfectly captured the essence of dealing with you as well during his improvised speech during the Cypher in Barcelona. If anyone saw the stream during the LiquidAuth presentation. But yeah, I guess going further, if we could dive a little bit on some topics around the community and the future of the package itself, what would you say, what feedback from the Algorand community over the years? Because I'd imagine there's a lot. Obviously, there's as you mentioned, there's also a Discord channel with ad hoc support that developers can give, whether you're contributing to the repository or would like to get some questions by getting help with integration. And also to mention the fact that UseWallet is something that is pre-integrated in some of the standard templates shipped along with the AlgoKit. So whenever you're using AlgoKit CLI and doing init, you can get React starter app with UseWallet integrated. And we're going to be updating that soon to V4, hopefully. But yeah, is there any significant Algorand community feedback that you have that you would say influenced the library's direction over the years? And I'm sure you've touching this partially already in some of your previous answers, but
yeah, honestly, I think the biggest one was just the request to move away from relying on React. And it worked well enough for us to have just the React solution, but it was definitely the community feedback clamoring for support in other frameworks that definitely pushed me to come up with the V3 solution. And I'm glad that I did, because a lot of other enhancements and performance improvements came out of it. And I think overall what we have now is better than what it was before. But yeah, that's certainly the biggest community feedback that's had an influence on the direction of the library, for sure.
That was a big part of its evolution too, when Silent came out with the solid wallet adapter, and to see the two powers combine to create what we have today is just really a testament to the community and what can be done in Vaults when we all get together and share the struggle we have. And it really, with the struggles, do you see anything with the library as it stands now, like any future evolutions, or do you feel pretty confident in this base abstraction with the store that you're pretty much locked in and this is no major changes after really V3.
Yeah, I think that, I'm still pretty happy with the current architecture. I obviously would love to see new wallets supported when they come out. Being able to add additional framework adapters would be great. But I think at least for now, and then obviously performance optimizations, there's some issues with the library being quite large in its current state. So I'm always trying to look for ways to save a few kilobytes here and there and a few milliseconds of performance as well. So there's always going to be stuff like that. But I think at least where we're at right now and where the library's at, I'm pretty pleased with how it's working. And yeah, and as far as people contributing, and if you ever have any ideas for new features or enhancements, or obviously if you find a bug, I'd love to hear about it. You can either hit us up in our NF Domains Discord in the Use Wallet dedicated channel, or just leave an issue or a discussion in the repo, in the Use Wallet repo. I welcome contributors. I think it's part of the reason why the library is as strong as it is. I think it's a testament to that. And yeah, and I just think it's really the first experience I've had with open source development, besides obviously being a consumer of open source, which I have been for a long time. It was really an eye-opener to be on the other side and to be the one actually doing the maintaining the library. It's definitely a lot more work than I would have anticipated. Even though I understood it was a lot of work, I think it was even more than I realized, but it definitely is great to have that perspective. And now when I interact with other libraries as well, instead of just reporting a bug, I'll try to see if I can fix it first. Like I'll try to put in that little bit of extra work, or I'll make sure that I can do a minimal NMRE, a minimal reproducible example, just to make it a bit easier and less time consuming for the developers to debug. So yeah, no, but it's, I love it. I love open source, and I love that it really is a community library, which has a very long list of contributors right now.
Actually wanted to.
I think both of you guys actually are contributors as well, because I know that Al, you added the magic link provider.
And, oh yes, yeah.
So yeah, so even the three of us on this call have all contributed to the library.
And for listeners out there, that's just one of yet another world providers essentially available for you. And you could think of it as out of the box. It's really like a Swiss Army knife of wallet providers out there. You plug in one, package one SDK, and you get an option to pretty much choose whatever you like out of everything that's currently available on the Algorand ecosystem. But yeah, Magic Office is this startup that basically allows you to plug in wallet authentication and abstract it away behind a email-based auth. So if you would like to build a business that relies on Algorand infrastructure but deals with authentication that's a bit more convenient to users, then probably one of the wallet providers that you'll choose. But then again, wait for Liquid Auth to solidify a little bit, and I'm sure you'll have a lot more open source alternatives to that, because Magic Auth is still a startup and it's a company, and there's always pros and cons with relying on centralized infrastructures in this case.
The only provider that I miss is good old AlgoSigner. Is the original,
the OG.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I've heard a few people at different times say that they were considering like reviving the repo. It's open source. Anybody could theoretically go back in and bring it back to life. But you're right, I do miss. There was also some things that I didn't like about it, but overall I loved AlgoSigner and I was really sad to see it go.
It was a time and place.
When was it deprecated, by the way? Was it like V2, right? By the end of V2, I think.
Yeah, because it didn't make it to V3, and I was sometime during V2 that they had stopped active development. And we kept it in there for a while, because obviously if you still have the extension installed, you can still use it. But it becomes, after a certain point, like a security concern. If there's some bug that no one's going to fix if it's there, or it can be exploited. Eventually, we just had to drop AlgoSigner support. But yeah, it's a throwback.
Hopefully, we'll see dfly extensions here. And I saw a bit of that floating around.
Yes, and actually that's something that V4, which is going to be released very soon, it's in beta right now. And it, in addition to supporting OSDK V3, it adds support for the dfly web extension wallet, which is also still in beta. That's all still being worked on, but it's now available in Use Wallet, or it will be once version 4 is released, and you can give it a try. From what I've seen, I love it, and it has all the benefits of dfly, but not having to pull out your phone every time you want to sign is great, especially obviously if you're on a desktop, it's great not having to worry about going back and forth on two screens.
Absolutely.
I'm just curious if you've ever had any community, I guess, requests or people asking if it's possible to have something like, I would imagine this is something that is separate to the use wallet monorepo itself or could live within a monorepo, but like a set of ad hoc optional components that essentially take care of showing the aggregated view of different wallet providers. Because sometimes you would also need to go ahead and implement that view yourself, but I'd imagine there are also cases when a fairly small dApp where the design language isn't really settled in yet, or they don't actually have a preference on how they want to present it, and they would much more prefer like having a simple pre-built component that's available for them. I wonder if anything like that came in feedback over the years.
Not specifically, but I love the idea. I think that one of the things I tried to do with the library is to make it like headless so that it's up to you, the developer, to make it look however you want. You can make it work however you want. It's really just plugging into the methods coming from the wallet providers. But I think that's a cool idea, actually having some sort of pre-packaged, pre-built wallet menu or something and having that be something that can be just dropped in as is or with some configuration into a new project. It would definitely save some more time for new developers, which is the motivation for this library, obviously, is just to get people from zero to up and running as quickly as possible. I like that. That's a good idea.
Nice. Probably ShadCM could be leveraged as well.
Yeah, but, right?
All right. And I guess as a set of closing questions, just wanted to clarify on the open source contributions if there's any specific areas around the existing set of issues that you think would benefit from the community involvement the most, or you would say it's really ad hoc, like if a developer sees an open issue he would like to contribute to? Because I know each repository and each open source project usually has their own sort of testimonies around how they want people to engage with them. Sometimes it's fully first come, first serve in some sense. Sometimes people really go overboard with that and have like whole automated systems with tags and rules that people have to follow. But yeah, I was just curious if there's anything specific you would want to add on that point.
Yeah, I think that anybody obviously finding any issues or having any ideas for improvements to the library, they're welcome. There's a contributing markdown file in the root of the repository of the monorepo that talks about creating an issue and best practices for that. And if you're actually going to write a pull request, how to format the commit messages and stuff like that. I try not to be too specific about that kind of stuff, but at the same time, I'm also like a bit of a perfectionist when it comes to that. Without being too strict, I set some guidelines, I guess I should say, in the contributing file. And yeah, anybody has any, either obviously issues, first and foremost, if there's anything, any bugs, to report them and are welcome to take a stab at fixing it as well. I love that. And besides that, though, adding support for new wallets when they come out, which is great. If you're really ambitious, taking a look at adding another framework adapter, maybe for your framework of choice, if it's not supported by the library, taking a look at how to get the reactivity working and getting sort of those bindings in place so that you could have a new adapter for your framework. Yeah, that'd be great. But yeah, just love any contributions, they're welcome. And I think it makes the library that much better.
Absolutely. You also have a sponsor link too, I think you set up the other day with the TXN Labs. If anybody would be interested, if you're non-technical, I highly recommend signing up for a sponsorship for TXN Labs.
Yes, that is obviously a huge help. And we do have the sponsor link on the repo. I do try to also do that myself, sponsoring repos that are projects that I use frequently. It definitely helps the open source community in general and lets people spend the time that it takes to really build these things and build them well. Yes. Yeah. Take a look. The sponsor link is there on the repository.
Awesome. I wonder if there's actually any console internally that deals with, because like at this point, you're pretty much like a forefront for any integration into dApps whenever it comes to wallet authentication. I wonder if existing wallet providers ever considered something like having a non-formal chat where people essentially coordinate new releases or breaking changes that could potentially, although I'm sure that the architecture of the solution is designed specifically to avoid situations like that. But
yeah, I do try to stay in touch with a lot of the developers working on these different wallets. And especially if they sometimes they'll give me a heads up that a new feature is coming and I can get the support ready beforehand, which is great. Otherwise, just trying to stay in touch with them and share what I'm working on and having them share what they're working on and just trying to keep it so that we're all trying to do the same thing here. Staying in contact is a big help. And
all right. So I guess moving on to the final question, and we're a little bit free-floating today, I would say. Usually, at the end of the episode, I would ask things like if you have any aspiring advisors to web developers out there, but I was really curious to experiment a bit more with having a new question for each guest of this upcoming episode. So I was just curious if you could share some thoughts on 2025, if you have any exciting things you're like really looking forward in the Algorand space for the upcoming year.
Yeah, obviously, I think with everybody, we're all pretty excited about incentivized consensus coming very soon. And we at Transaction Lab, we built Ready Open Pooling, which is on FNet right now, but will be in production eventually once that all goes live. Very excited about that. And then also, there's some other stuff that I can't fully get into to talk about yet, but there's stuff that we're working on that hopefully we'll be able to share with people pretty soon that we're pretty excited about. Yeah, I do think it's a great time in Algorand right now. Price action aside, I think in general, the ecosystem is doing very well and we're in a really good place and going in a good direction. And I think 2025 is going to be just that much better.
Yeah, it's been a bit of a challenge to focus on the work with all this crazy price action on the side. I had to clear all everything that involves notifications on any of the price movements, right, on any of the
quotes. Don't look at the charts.
Just forget about the charts.
Yeah.
All right. Any final thoughts, questions from our wonderful co-host, Mike?
I think I just have more of a statement of just how much I value the work at TXM Labs and just the ecosystem in general, seeing it evolve from where it did. And the decision to make it open source is not an easy one. Like you said, it comes with cost. It is not like you just release this thing out there and you have no more work. It's quite the opposite. If it's buried inside of your system, you have a lot more incentive to skirt around some things. But when the initial integration came out, it has removed, I can't imagine, maybe tens of hundreds of thousands of lines from people's code bases of this spaghetti nightmare of managing all these providers. And we used the example of AlgoSigner, where if they disappear, all of a sudden, now you're dealing with ripping out these systems. And I can't say how elegant Use Wallet has been in managing this specific problem. And I agree that I don't think there is really much evolution from the design it has now since it's so elegant. And I thank TXM Labs and the ecosystem of FOSS devs that we have.
Thank you. That's great to hear. And yeah, no, I hadn't really thought about maybe the number of lines of code that it saved or the hours of work that it saved. But yeah, no, that's love to hear it. Love the sentiment and happy to do it. Happy to continue working on it.
Awesome. Can't agree more with Mike. And once again, a little deliberate. So thank you very much, Doug, for attending this podcast and see you
thank in you guys the upcoming episodes. It's a lot of fun.
Till next time.